It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Are you a tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
The most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey Montagna.
Footy journo, Jay-Z Clark.
Sugar Ray Leonard was a great boxer. I'm Sugar Jay, so that was sort of the clever play on words.
And horse racing royalty, Emma Friedman.
Something about having a short reach and, you know, just not being very big. So.
It's everything you need to kickstart your weekend.
I'm up and about today.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to talk all things sport or what sport is happening at the moment. Joey, Jay, Rosie, morning guys and girls. What a weird week it's been, eh?
Oh, what a weird week, absolutely. But it's good to be here. It's good to be on air. And we can chat sport. There's football on, Jay. There's some other sport, but there's plenty happening in the world. It's just nice to be here.
Did you see the marble race online this week? Have you seen?
God, your life has been grim.
A lot of people would have seen it. There's a guy who dug like a sort of open tunnel through all this sand and then emptied a box of marbles and then raced all these marbles. The most compelling viewing I've seen all week. That's what it's got to. But we're up and about. The God the footy was on. Last night and the night before, I'm sure we're going to get to all that. Plenty to chat about, but it has been a crazy old weekend.
Yeah, let's talk about the broadcasting a little bit because that's how people are consuming their footy at the moment, with two games already being played, either listening to Triple M or watching it on the box. First game, Joey, I know you were out there, was weird, but I reckon last night watching the box, it was a bit better, you know. The sound effects were up and the cameras were shooting things a little bit tighter. It didn't bother me as much.
And I think we're going to get used to it pretty quickly. I know we've all been saying weird, but I think by the end of this round, it'll just become the new normal to not have a crowd. We know it's going to be different, but I think we adapt pretty quickly. And the broadcasters will keep, you know, trying things. They'll keep being innovative. Triple M have already been great. I was there Thursday night. They've got the exclusive umpire mic, so that was really cool to hear the umpires talk to the players. So, look, it's just going to be different, but I think we'll get used to it really quickly.
I love the innovation. If you haven't seen the Collingwood team song already, check it out, because Geordie DeGoey looks like he's at a nightclub at 3 a.m, I reckon. Some of the dance moves that he's pulling. So that's what I want to see from the in the team song, some innovation, some creativity, some moves. Not just the standard throw your arms around and throw Gatorade. Let's see
This is the year where I think anything goes. You can try anything this year and it's almost okay to get away with it, because as we know, it is such a different year, such a different landscape, that I think you're right, whether it's clubs, players, the AFL, the broadcasters, this is the time just to try things. And if it doesn't work, no worries. We're not going to bag anyone because we know we've got to be creative. So I'm looking forward to seeing what continues on the rest of the season.
Yeah, and we're going to bring you a bit of brightness this morning as well. Coming up on the show today, we have some massive season predictions as we enter the thick of round one. Doesn't matter that it's a 17-round season. There's still plenty to play for. How will the season change and how will teams adapt? Also, the Golden Slipper will still be running one at Rose Hill in Sydney today. And Gay Waterhouse has the favourite. She'll be joining us before potentially record-breaking activity there today. She's won 6. Can she win 7? An amazing story there. Plus, we are guiding you through all things sport, including the AFL and their decision only a couple of days ago to continue to play round one as was scheduled. Jay, clubs' preparations, they would have been thrown into chaos. How have they changed things over the last week or so?
Well, let's talk about Melbourne. They're probably the most impacted. So normally trip to Perth, you fly 2 days out, or certainly they did, Joey. They're waiting till Fremantle finishes its game against Essendon today to fly over to Perth. So Melbourne's flight will leave at about 7:30. They'll land at Perth at about 11:30 p.m. Oh. Have their pre-game sort of, or their meal, their pasta or whatever. 11 p.m. Melbourne time.
Yep.
Have a feed and then try and go to bed. So they will land in Perth some 12 hours before they're actually scheduled to play. Now you tell me, Joey. You did it 287 times.
Yep.
How?
That is difficult because Perth, and at the moment, it's a 3-hour time difference. It's pretty significant to sort of, you know, players are creatures of habit and routine and all those sorts of things. Trying to get to sleep when they first, you know, after they eat is going to be difficult.
Yep.
That is bizarre. As you said, normally you try and get there as early as possible, 2 days. Sometimes some players even go 3 days early to just get that routine right. That's amazing.
What about this round, though, coming up? So we're in middle of round one. What about round two? Does the fixture just stay the same, or are there amendments going to be made?
Yeah, it's a great question. The AFL's working around the clock on this and have explored trying to bring some games forward in round two. At this stage, and things can change, but at this stage, round two will go ahead as scheduled, Joey. So what is it, Richmond Collingwood on the Thursday night and then the rest of the weekend. But from about round three, we could be seeing games on Tuesday night, Joe, Wednesday night, double headers at grounds, clubs staying over in Perth for, say, 2 weeks or in Adelaide to play the two Adelaide teams, that sort of stuff. So it will be significantly compacted. How do you think clubs will go handling that three-game in a 12-day period schedule, for example?
Yeah, there's been talk, and that is the case, isn't it? They're looking at rounds 3 to 6, trying to squeeze in as many games as possible. There's been a bit of talk, a bit of commentary that if you're going to play 3 games in 12 or 13 days, you might have to use your whole list, or the superstars are going to get rested. I've spoken to a club and even thinking about myself, 3 games in 13 or 12, 14 days, players will be able to do it.
Yeah.
As long as they don't have a corky or, you know, get a head knock or something that would keep them out of a game. But for that period, players will be able to get up and back up and play. And
so how do you train?
Well, you won't train. You'll just, just recover and just play again the next week. You'll maybe just do one very light run. But to give you some context, and the shorter quarters are going to help with that, because in a game, you would average about 14, 15 kilometres a game. Now the players are doing about 11 or 12 kilometres with the shorter quarters. To put that in context, all pre-season, on a Monday, their main training session, they'd run about 11 or 12 kilometres. Then they'd have another main training on Friday, do the same, and then do it again Monday. So they're used to actually backing up every third day and having a really solid training session. Now you're going to add in, yes, a little bit more of a physical component and the contact work, but as long as the players recover generally pretty well from that, and it's not like a severe knock, they'll be able to play again. So I wouldn't be surprised that teams will still be putting out their best 22 players for those three games in 13 days.
Yeah, teams are going to have to adapt in the way they train, but also allow their players to recover. And we're going to address that a little bit later on, which teams are going to be best at that, at being innovative, so they can squeeze those multiple games into a two-week period. Before we wrap up, Jay, long-term, I mean, as you said, between rounds 3 and 6, trying to squeeze in as many games as they possibly can. Is the prediction still that after round 6, so then we're heading into May, June, that's when the inevitable hiatus will actually happen?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Depends on community spread, etc. But some of these changes, guys, I actually like for the long-term look. The 16-minute quarters are great.
Has not been a problem, has it?
Do you watch 100 minutes of footy and then go, gee, I wish we could, you know, another half
watch
an
more.
Hour footy.
So to give you some context, Thursday night was about 103 minutes of playing time. It'd been previously up over 130. Now, that's 30 minutes shorter where, you know, you don't lose that interest. And did anyone have a problem with it?
No.
Hasn't been an issue at all.
I think football from now on will stay like this. List sizes, another interesting element. I think they get wound back from 44, I think, to 30. Because, I mean, that's also a mental health issue as well. The players who really suffer are the ones who aren't getting a game, 30 to 40.
I've heard, and I mean, obviously it's still very early, but that might be the case. That what they can do with now, with the whole industry changing, and obviously we know about the financial implications, bring the list down to 30 or 35. Salary caps will be cut, so it'll be slashed from about 13 million to under 10 million.
Wow.
But you just pay less players. Yep. Now, I know the AFLPA, I mean, that's going to be a loss of jobs for, you know, football players. But then you can now structure up and have a different league, almost like the NBA. You've got your NBA, then you've got a D league. So we can have 30 players on a list that are in your senior squad. You have a development league that can play, and those guys can try and get a game if you need to pick some players. And it might even prolong someone like, say, a Daisy Thomas who wanted to keep playing. He can go back and play in a development league for a year, still get good money. And if a club wants to pluck a player like that, whether it's a 19-year-old or a 34-year-old, you can bring them up. I think there's so many ways they can change this game for the better.
Absolutely. Possibly, spot on, Joey.
Is that like an amalgamation of like the VFL, the Waffle, the
I think now they've got a creative license to restructure the whole system. And I know Brad Scott's role now at the AFL is basically to look at that. Mm. I think there's a real opportunity now just to restructure how we want to play footy going forward.
And so then those players coming up from the VFL just get a match payment rather than a yearly salary. Also, lastly, footy department spending, what's a cap, about $10 million.
Yeah.
That could come back to about half, $5 million. Yeah. So, you know, less coaches, that sort of stuff, support staff. But certainly the look of footy on the back of this will change forever.
And the amount of games that get played going forward. Mm. Do we play 17 games, 22? Do we move it to 30? I mean, who knows? I think there's a real blank canvas now for the AFL and all the bigwigs to look at how we play footy going forward.
Fascinating stuff, guys. I know a lot of another mob of guys are going to want to have their say on this today. It's a Saturday rub. They're the first show back for the year. JB, Wayne Carey, Billy Brownless and Damien Barrett. BT, sadly, still in quarantine after flying back from the US.
I reckon he'll cop a bit of ribbing today.
I think it's inevitable. Then it's the Bombers taking on the Dockers.
Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
I wear men's deodorant if we're really sharing
really?
And caring this morning. Yeah, I think it smells way better.
Really?
I'm really different to most women.
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Freeman.
Well, a bumper card at Rose Hill today as Autumn Racing in Sydney gears up despite no crowds. Headlined by the $3.5 million golden slipper for the two-year-olds. It's a really exciting field headed by the favourite Farnan for the Gay Waterhouse team. And we're glad to say that the First Lady of Racing joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Gay.
Good morning, Emma. Lovely to hear your dulcet tones.
You're very kind, and yours as well. How are you feeling about racing at the moment? Of course, no crowds, which I would think would benefit the two-year-olds today, but how on a personal level are you feeling about it all?
Oh, well, it's very sad, you know. Unfortunately, when you stop people going to a venue or doing something that they would normally do, there's every chance that you won't get the crowds back after. I mean, it's difficult. It's out of our hands. But, you know, I remember once in Sicily, we were going to a coffee shop forever and a day, and it was closed one day, and we went around the corner. We never went back to the original. Well, yeah. That's, you know, it can happen, you know. So when people stop going to the races, there's always a chance that they may not start again when, you know, when the ban's lifted.
Well, Gay, the good news is myself and my mates can't wait to have our next big day at the races. Goodness knows what it's going to be.
I'm glad to hear that, boys.
We are already talking about it, I can assure you. Hey, how's it like at the stable? I mean, you obviously got so many employees and horses to look after. Can you give us, how's it going behind the scenes with obviously all the regulations and encouragements at the moment? You're obviously trying to keep your workforce together.
Well, you've got to take a great precaution. We take everyone's temperature as they come in. And you know, if they're sick, we send them home. Or if they've got a temperature, they can't come to work. So the people have become like the horses. We take the horses' temperatures, don't we, Emma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Day,
so now we take the people's. But, you know, we're very mindful of keeping hands and the boots clean and everything like that. And that's basically, you know, the show has to go on. So work has to go on as normal as one can be in this time.
And how excited are you, Gay, about this afternoon? Another golden slip. You've already won six. I know the trophy cabinet is full, but you must be. Do you still get as excited as you always have about a big race, particularly like the one this afternoon?
I certainly do. Look, this is the richest two-year-old race in the world. So it's a very, as Emma knows, because her father's won this race, it's a very, very important race in our breeding industry. The horses that win this race, particularly, well, colts and fillies, all end up being the champion sires or the champion brood mares. Mm. It just has a wonderful, wonderful stamps horses to be great horses. And to be a horse to win this race, he has to have a terrific constitution. He has to have a great mindset. He has to have terrific cruising speeds. He has to have a wonderful finishing burst. And he has to be the best that there is. So this is the best of the best, this race.
Well, Farnan is your big hope today. He's won four races from his five starts. Who's he most like out of the other six Golden Slipper winners that you've trained?
They're all very individual. You know, they're all very good styles of horses. Like, he's a very nice, neat horse, Farnham. He's got a lovely head and a good jowl, you know, good jaw. They all have great aptitude for work. You know, they want to be racehorses. You know, it's like any good athlete. They want to be athletes. You know, Emma, they've got great attitude and they know how to chill out. So when they're not on the racetrack, they know how to shoot the breeze and just be cool in the box and lie down. This horse lies down a lot. You know, all good athletes, you've really got to be able to rest, because when the pressure's on, it really is on. And on these young two-year-olds, it's certainly on them at certain times. So you want the horse to be able to chill out when he goes back, not live on his nerves. They've all got great cruising speed, and they've got, you know, amazing finishing bursts. And that's what will win the slipper today with Farnham, in my opinion.
Ooh, that was confident. I like it, Gay.
I like it from champion trainer Gay Waterhouse. How are you going to celebrate? I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, Gay, but if Farnham gets up, what do you do to celebrate a big race win like today?
If he wins today, it will be the first slipper, not the seventh, for Adrian and myself, because now I'm no longer training as Gay Waterhouse. I'm training as Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Boss, so in partnership, like several of your uncles, Emma, you know. Yes, which is lovely.
Oh, is it lovely? Great. I mean, you don't have as many wars in your family as I do in mine.
Well, I'm an only child, Emma, so it's much easier. but no, it's good. It's really good because, you know, young people have seen the world differently, and yet, you know, the old dogs are a hard road. So you're able to sort of blend things. And Adrian is very attentive to if I want something done, you know, and I can see something, which is only from years of experience, he's very mindful to make sure that's done.
So, Gay, on a scale of 1 to 100...
Job with this cult.
Sorry,
on a scale of 100...
1 to 100, what? The scale of confidence levels on Farnan. Give us a number, please.
Oh, well, no, 99.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there she is. Yeah. I love it. Oh, Gay, it's been great to chat to you. We wish you luck for today. You run a Farnan in the big one, the $3.5 million golden slipper for the two-year-olds. Let's see if you can break your father's record, hey?
Thanks, Emma. Thanks so much. Lovely to speak to you, boys.
Thank you, Gay.
Thank you, Gay.
Isn't she an absolute gem?
She's a legend. She is a legend. That is the right word. Yeah. She is a legend. Yeah.
And of course, all the coverage this afternoon on Channel 7 as well, because you won't be able to get out to Rosehill if you're up in Sydney, so you can watch it all on the box.
And I just got a feeling she's pretty confident about Farnan. I don't know if you guys picked up on that. Yeah, I think she's confident that Farnan might be able to win the Golden Slipper.
The Dead Set Legends bold predictions.
We've got to put our money where our mouth is.
For Jack Link's beef jerky.
Now, these predictions were going to be a little bit different a couple of weeks ago, but of course they've evolved with the news this week that the game will change a little bit for season 2020. Boys, we are going to get to a team at the end who you think all this mayhem and all these changes is going to suit the most. But let's get there by asking a few questions. E.g., these shortened 16-minute quarters, who's it going to suit?
Yeah, I've got a theory. I don't think it's going to change necessarily the way teams play or suit a team in particular. All it is, you know, 5 or 6 minutes shorter quarters. What I think it will suit are individuals. Players that probably aren't the elite in regards to their fitness levels, the guys that, you know, might not be able to run all day, but they're impact players. And the shorter quarters mean I think that they'll have more influence. So I think of guys that have generally played as forwards only because they don't have a really good tank that can now play more midfield. I think Christian Petrarca.
Oh, you're talking about my man Petrarca.
Petrarca. I think someone like a Jake Gresham at St Kilda, who I can think of. Guys that maybe even a Jordan Degoe, who we know has had his issues over pre-season with his fitness. I think the shorter quarters mean those players that aren't naturally gifted in regards to their elite aerobic capacity can have more of an influence and bridge the gap from the guys like the Tom Scullies and the Isaac Smiths, the ones that run all day, just because the games are now going to be over 100 minutes as opposed to 130 minutes.
Because there was that emphasis from a recruiting perspective. Get the guys who can run.
Yeah.
Now maybe it's more that natural footballing ability. It's a good thing for the footballers. As you said, like Jordy Degoe can play in those bursts, etc. I also wonder about the clearances, Joey. If you can win the ball from the get-go, does it put an extra premium on the clearances? We're going to talk about Western Bulldogs and Collingwood last night because Collingwood gave them an absolute bath in that area. I just wonder whether the premium on winning it at the source.
Don't know. I think it's too early to tell. We've got to give it a bit of time to see whether that makes a big difference. What we do know is shorter quarters, players are able to run faster, run at higher speeds for longer. Does that invite more pressure? Does that mean the pressure game goes up because you can sustain that defensive pressure? So we've still got only two games so far, and I reckon we've got to have a little bit of an asterisk next to those two games because I think both the Western Bulldogs and Carlton didn't rock up at the start. So that's been a bit of an issue.
This is going to create a need for innovation as well and creativity within clubs. At the moment, who are you thinking is going to be able to adapt and... Like it's innovative, isn't it? With their training, with their
everything.
Recovery,
everything now, you're going to have to be open-minded. I think coaching is now going to have a premium. I think going to just to get players mentally on the right page during the weeks, understanding what's happening, going with the flow, being innovative, as we've spoken about. So I think it's going to be one of those years where you've got to look at who you're backing in. And I just think I'm going with it, Hawthorn.
Oh.
You think about Alistair Clarkson and his...
Jack Link's bold prediction.
It's a Jack Link's bold prediction. The Hawks, I think, will benefit the best from this crazy season because I have trust in Clarko. This club will just do something that everyone goes, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah.
Or the way they'll just handle the situation. And you think about their assistant coaches. They've got Brendan Bolton, who's coached his own club, Scott Burns and Adam Uze, who have just missed out on coaching jobs, and Sam Mitchell, who's a coach in waiting. Like, their coaching staff is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they'll put their heads together and they'll come up with not necessarily a game plan, but just how to handle this crazy season.
Not sure a Hawthorn Premiership's going to be all that popular with the footy public, to be honest. They've won recently. I've got a player focus, Jack Link's bold prediction, guys, and that is about Melbourne's Steve May. He's really copped it over the past year, rocked up a bit overweight, probably like I would have or have repeatedly. I think he can be the All-Australian fullback this year. It was Brisbane's Harris Andrews who won it last year. He's been dominating training. He was excellent in the games that he played last year. He's probably Melbourne's best player. I think that Steve May can absolutely return to the fore and become an All-Australian, become the All-Australian fullback this year, Joey.
I like it. I like it. My bold prediction is that the Gold Coast Suns will not win the Wooden Spoon.
Ooh.
Don't Don't sleep on the Gold Coast Suns.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are going to they're going to surprise a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
Their two games in the Marsh series were played in the they played a very good brand of footy. They're playing the right system. These youngsters have got another preseason under their belt. There's something about the club that's just starting to click. I reckon there's a bit of unity with these young guys. There's talent there. I think now the coaching is evolving. They've gone from playing 1v1 style to this modern football. I can see them winning five or six games, and you wouldn't want to be off your game as another team because they might surprise a few.
And a huge danger game against Port Adelaide.
They can beat Port Adelaide.
Oh, are you willing to have another bold prediction as to who will finish?
No, that's the answer. I don't know. Because I don't know who will win the Wooden Spoon. I don't know. I just don't think it'll be the Gold Coast Suns. So, teams like Adelaide, Sydney, there's a few clubs that you're like, we want to get a couple of wins early. And we'll see how we go.
Thanks, boys.
That was the Dead Set Legends Bold Predictions. Power through your day with Jack Link's Beef Jerky. Jack never lets you down. Find it in the snack aisle.
Well, let's get into the footy from last night. We're expecting a tight contest at Marvel Stadium, but in the end, 52-point winners to the Collingwood Football Club. You know what, Jay-Z? I think everyone was expecting a tight contest last night, but the Dogs, they just didn't show up.
We thought it'd be the match of the round.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it certainly looked like on paper. But this Western Bulldogs side, who, let's be honest, Joey and Em, said when the fixture was about to be released, we want the Friday night stage. Put us on the lights. We want the big stage. And first up, they flopped, didn't they?
They did.
You know what the big concern for me is, Joe, and you analyse this as well as anyone. In the elimination final to GWS, the Bulldogs got stitched up in contested possession, beaten up, bullied around the ball, lost that by about 42. Last night to Collingwood, it was an absolute procession in the engine room. They were again done in contested possession by about 30. Now, this is a Western Bulldogs engine room that you look at Bontempelli, you look at Dunkley, you look at Wallace, you look at McRae, and you think, that's their one wood, isn't it, around the footy? And their past two games have been flat out poor.
Yep.
How does Luke Beveridge handle that? Has he got sirens, flashing lights going off about that engine room?
I think the sirens and flashing lights were the scoreboard last night. Yep. I think there's two ways it can go when a result like that happens. You either it dents the confidence of the playing group really quickly and they go, oh, gee whiz. Or it's the slap in the face they needed. You grit your teeth and you get to work. And I've got faith in the Western Bulldogs and the coach Luke Beveridge and this playing group. They'll roll up their sleeves. Because sometimes when you have such an elite midfield like that, sometimes you think it's going to happen. The way they're playing, numbers around the football, gun midfielders, sometimes you just presume you're going to win the contested ball and actually not roll up your sleeves and get down and do it yourself. And I think maybe that's what happened last night. I think they just sort of thought it would happen. No doubt they didn't handle the occasion. We saw one team, I think the same on Thursday night. Richmond handled the occasion with the no crowd in the week. Carlton didn't, same as last night with the Bulldogs. But I've got faith in the Western Bulldogs that you get one mulligan, and I reckon in this season that's all you get.
Yep.
Because of the 17-game season, you get one opportunity to say, righto, let's park that one. That's not happening again. And roll up the sleeve. So I'm still going to stick fat with the Western Bulldogs that they can be a top four team. And I think this will just be the slap in the face they needed.
What was it? 22 inside 50s, fourth lowest at champion data is recorded.
Amazing.
We know the shorter quarters. Tim English isn't. We know his athletic ability. He got absolutely monstered in the ruck, didn't he?
But it wasn't good to watch.
What is also interesting now is the on-field hygiene. The AFL has given the players a bit of a warning, don't high five, be careful of your water bottles, don't link arms when you sing the team song. And Luke Beveridge, the Western Bulldogs coach, had some interesting thoughts on this after the game.
The challenging thing for all of us, not just the players, is any plans that are made are really tenuous or... because we know how quickly the plans are changing. And even before the game, just the messaging around, you know, we're playing the game, but now, you know, you've got to be careful what you're doing around the game and, you know, high fives and huddles and all this. So that's an interesting dilemma, isn't it? You know, with what you actually do in the game compared to that. So even the messaging, you're reluctant to message your players too strongly about that.
It was strange, wasn't it? Did anyone else find it patronising? Like, they're out there tackling each other all 100%. Over each other, but then they can't high-five after a goal. Like, I just, that was going to be my give me a spell. But Emma, did you think it was patronising as well, or was it just me? Is that the
it
right
It drove
look?
Me nuts, Joey, because one minute you've got a bloke with his arms around someone else flinging him into the ground and no doubt saliva all over his face. And then after someone kicks a goal, they're doing these foot taps and these hand
elbow
fist pumps.
And, oh my God.
Like, I think if you're going to rule out one, and this isn't going to happen, but does the tackle rate go down? Because is that one of the things they have to consider? Well,
maybe Carlton, got that instruction on Thursday night because they laid 17 tackles for the game.
It's just revolting.
So maybe they were trying to do the social distancing.
Too laterally.
It's outrageous.
It was bizarre, wasn't it?
I guess it's more just for the symbolism, isn't it? To the kids at home, I guess they want to represent what's happening out there in our society. But as I said off the top, get creative with your team songs. I want to see some different celebrations. There's opportunity here.
Can't link arms after a song.
Do something different. But I guess that's what Beveridge has called out, that hypocrisy. But it'll be interesting going forward, Em.
There was one more thing that I want to address that was pre-match on Fox Footy last night. They're interviewing, I think it was Crisp, and you know, the distance between Brad Johnson and him was probably, it sounded like 10 metres, to be honest. Get a mic on him, guys. Just put a mic on him. Couldn't understand what he was saying in the race when they weren't bundled together. I know the 4 metre rule, but come on, let's get it right. We do want to thank our show sponsor, Jacklinks Beef Jerky. Guys, they never let you down. It's delicious chew, makes the eating experience last longer than any other snack. It's more filling, high protein, low in GI, so it can power you through the day. Plus, it's low fat, has no added preservatives, so it's healthy as well as delicious. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle today.
Jacklinks Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
There is also the significant threat of electrocution.
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Friedman.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, thanks for joining us for another Saturday morning full of sport. A big second hour coming up, including our Underworks Legend of the Week, Dead Set Legend of the Week, and also our Dead Set Multi, which I hate saying this, but we haven't had any success.
We're on fire. We can't miss.
We can't miss. Yep. So we're going to try again this weekend.
We'll get today for sure.
We have to.
We will.
We've got to have some luck on our side after all this drama of the last week. Jay-Z, you're always good for a little personal yarn. You and your three kids and your wife and your house. And
you should do a documentary on your life.
You've got to try and bring something to spice up the show occasionally. And this week I've been inspired.
Have you?
Inspired by the random acts of kindness. So obviously things are a bit tough at the moment. I love people's big hearts and doing kind things for other people. A good friend of mine down in Geelong had some excess toilet paper, so he went door knocking to find someone who needed some toilet paper and found an old lady who been through a really difficult week, had none left, handed it over. That's the sort of stuff. You see it on Twitter, all that sort of stuff. So I thought, right.
You wanted to be a good Samaritan.
I did.
Oh,
Emma. I headed down to the supermarket because we needed some bread. We'd run out of bread and I'm just desperate to help someone, right? I just thought, there's got to be someone here.
Reeks of desperation, doesn't it?
I can help. I just thought, this is my chance. The first time I've been let out of the house. Who can I help? I've seen this grey-haired 90-year-old lady getting round with a trolley with a few things in it and just going like absolute snail's pace, right? Zeroed in on her, Joey.
She's in her 90s. I mean, she could have been in her 60s.
She wasn't moving real fast. Right? She looked a bit frail and she got this big trolley and I thought, I've got to be able to help this woman. So I charge over there. I said, hello, ma'am. I said, can I help you? Can I reach something for you? Can I push your trolley?
Oh, my God.
I dead set scared the buggery out of her. she absolutely fobbed me off so quick.
I thought you were just a creep.
So quickly. And she just basically sprinted away from me. She hit like third gear. She's gone from like first gear to third gear. And the people around me started laughing at my miserable attempt to help someone. Like I had a sort of an old tatty 20-year-old Red Hot Chili Pepper t-shirt on. So
you looked like some kind of drug addict walking around Coles.
I'm probably going to try and rob her or something and steal her purse in the trolley.
She must have thought I was taking her trolley with her tri-pasta or whatever. So I need to have a good hard look at myself. I can't even help old ladies in the supermarket.
Let's be honest. He's been pumping up this story for 4 days and it actually was pretty good.
And what about those? He was trying to do an act of kindness. Really, he was only doing it for his own gratification. It was very...
Oh, dear. If I can help you, shout out. I'm here.
Get involved on Twitter. I'm sure we'd love to hear from you. Jeez, this has just been a wild ride. Last night, Collingwood, 52-point winners over the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium. And yes, they did sing the song.
Awesome. I hadn't heard that. Didn't hear it last night. That is good because I like it. A bit of a modern twist. I think we've got to get past a little bit of the whole sort of the way we've done it. If you see the NRL, how good is it when the NRL clubs sing their theme songs? Emma, you'd know all about it. They
sing
bang the rubbish bin lids and they bang the walls and they really get right into it. Yeah. There was a bit of that. I really like it. I think that's a nice change up.
Because they weren't initially going to do it. We heard in the pre-match that whoever wins tonight probably won't sing the team song, but they did it in the end. Tell us how they kind of arranged to do it because it sounded very spirited, Jay.
Yeah, is in the team song how they arranged that? I think they just made a last-minute call that they were going to do it, but just no touching, which makes sense. And I can't wait to see the improvisation. I mean, again, if you haven't seen it, zoom in on Geordie the Goey. He looks like he's having a great time.
Well, the Western Bulldogs have got a tradition now. They go into the locker room and turn off the lights and crank up the music and have a couple of minutes where they go, they get into like a disco thing. Yeah, so
all of that.
It's good.
I can't get enough of that sort of stuff. But Collingwood, this was a powerful statement on the start of the season. I think we talked a lot about Richmond, a lot about the Bulldogs, a lot about GWS and West Coast's premiership fancies. This was a nice little reminder from Nathan Buckley's men. And the big question for the Pies for me is, could they get that midfield chemistry and synergy? For all the talent, Joey, last year it was surprising that Collingwood spent a lot of time on the centre clearance table and bottom three.
Yep.
They couldn't get it out of the midfield as much as they would like. It's been a huge focus for them last night. And last night they gave the Bulldogs an absolute pantsing and annihilation in the clinches out of the contest. And if they get that going, Joey, sky's the limit, right?
Absolutely. And we spoke about Brody Grundy earlier. He just bullied Tim English. Yeah. He absolutely dominated. But their second most important player, Jay, who do you think is at Collingwood? Speaking of what you were just talking about being able to win the ball in the midfield.
Be my man, Pendlebury.
No.
Sure. Have you got this right?
I do. Taylor Adams is almost the most underrated player at Collingwood. Last year, when they were struggling around the ball, we knew about Treloar and Pendlebury and Sidebottom, and they were all getting a lot of possessions, but as you said, their clearance numbers weren't great. Taylor Adams is that player for them that I think just holds everything together. When he played last year, Collingwood, I think, were 9-3. Last night, 12 clearances himself. He is that player for them that is the in and under, the grunt player, and I think they rely on him. He's so important to them, so he was really, really strong last night, and he's going to have a big say if the Pies are going to go one step better this year.
Well, I'll see your Taylor Adams, and I'll raise you Jeremy Howe. 12 intercept possessions last night. He can be an all-Australian halfback.
Absolutely.
Doesn't he come across? And Mark, you've got Darcy Moore there.
Darcy Moore stars, yeah.
And the defensive running. Like, I thought the coverage to cut off the Western Bulldogs' uncontested possession chain was absolutely outstanding. But what's interesting, and this is going to be a trend across the competition, Joey, no crowds, less pressure on the forwards to kick the goal.
Yes.
To kick accurately. Less fatigue as well. Let's have a listen to Collingwood forward Brody Mychek on that matter after last night's game.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. It sort of brought me back to a few VFL games and local footy. But, I personally didn't mind it. I thought it took a bit of edge off lined up for goal, and I managed to kick three straight, so it worked out well.
I'm glad he said that, because I think I said it during the week that I think this will be the highest accuracy for goal in about 20 years because of that reason.
Yep.
I know when you're standing out there, and when it's those shots about 30 out that you think you should be kicking, you do feel a little bit tense. You feel the pressure. You know you should be kicking it, that crowd and everything there. So I just think with no crowd in the background, it is a bit more like training. It is a little bit more like just kick it through the sticks, like playing at local footy, like Brody Mychek said. So I think goal accuracy will go up this year. And the other part of Collingwood's game, which if anyone has had a knock on the pies about winning the flag, it's been their key forwards.
Yep.
But last night, Mason Cox, two goals straight, couple of contested marks, couple of free kicks, and Brody Mychek, three goals straight and a couple of contested marks. So when those guys are playing well, and their midfielder winning the footy, you're right, they are going to be very, very hard to stop, and that's why they're premiership, one of the premiership favourites.
A little injury concern for Mason Cox last night, but 8 minutes later, back on the field and going great guns, which is great to see. Let's get into today's footy schedule. Eight teams up for the contest, including the Bombers taking on the Dockers from 2 o'clock this afternoon, live on Triple M and Fox Footy. Jay, hoping to see a new style of footy from Essendon.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the most intriguing aspects of this round, just how the Bombers do play, because they've gone through a bit of an overhaul, it's fair to say, Joey, and you've been looking at them all week. Blake Caracella's put his Richmond stamp on this side. More forward handballs, more chaos ball. Explain what Essendon are doing.
Yeah, well, you are going to see Essendon play a bit more like Richmond in regards to getting up their midfielders and their small forwards, their high half forwards, back into defence, win the football back and chain it up with high handballs and just try and run the length of the field. So that's what Richmond have done. We saw it on Thursday night. You see, you know, they all get involved, Shea Bolton and Rioli, Prestia, Kane Lambert. You're going to see something similar from Essendon because they have a lot of similar types of players that are explosive with speed, that are really creative and clever. And that's basically how they've built their team. You look at Devin Smith, Fantasia, McGrath, Sheil, Parrish, Zaharakis. Yeah. So that's how they're going to go about it. It's interesting too that they've dropped Sean McKernan, who was really their only key forward, and they've gone small. So their three tall forwards are going to be Townsend, who's come across from Richmond, Jake Stringer, and Jaden Laverde, who are not necessarily key position players. So
more hybrids.
They've gone hybrids. So they've gone small. So you can almost expect to see a really dynamic style of football where they're going to try and run and handball and create havoc that way. And then we know they've got their talented small forwards with Tip and Woody and Fantasia. So it's going to be an exciting brand of footy for the Bombers. They've been really good in the Marsh series. It's going to be fascinating to watch how they go about it.
And so we know about the injuries they've had. No Heppel. Bell Chambers is coming in.
Strange they've picked Bell Chambers off no games pre-season. Jake Stringer hasn't played any Marsh series games. They left out Connor McKenna, who came back from Ireland. He's an emergency.
No hooker. Brandon Zirk Thatcher. Someone said to me at the end of last season that he was the best player in the VFL. He's a gun interceptor. He's one who Essendon fans can really isolate into, because you'd think Fremantle look at this team, go, it's pretty small. Is there a way that they can try and exploit Essendon in the air?
They've still got Hurley and Francis as key defenders. And as you said, they're calling him Zirk Fletcher down at Essendon because he's like Dustin Fletcher, really rangy, really long. And he's been super in his two Marsh series games. He played on Josh Kennedy at West Coast and Tom Hawkins and did a great job on them. So he's a young player up and coming. And interesting to see how the Bombers go this year. The whole Ben Rutten, John Worsfold thing's been interesting. But at the moment, they're playing a good style of footy.
It'll all be about pace. The Crows and the Swans then battle each other out this afternoon. And then GWS Geelong, 7:40 on 7 and Triple M. You'd have to think the grand finalists last year, do they have the wood over the Cats early?
I think so. And I've got to give Jay credit here, because last week you really put on the – oh, 2 weeks ago it was. In fact, we didn't do the show last week. 2 weeks ago you put on the map you were concerned about Geelong. And then since then, they then played their Marsh series game against the Bombers. And again, they just looked really stagnant and slow. I think they kicked 60 points in one Marsh game, only 55 in the other. It's been their knock, their ability to score and how slow they're playing. They're going to be interesting because other teams, as we've said, Essendon are going to play faster, Hawthorn are going to play faster. Some other teams are sort of playing this more frenetic style. And Geelong looks like they want to stick to what they did last year, which worked in the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. They were terrific. But then towards the back end of the year, it fell away. Or others can look at it and say, but they were 21 points up against the Premiers, Richmond, in a prelim. Like, they were so close to being in a grand final. So Chris Scott sticking with it, but they're just going to be a really interesting watch to see how that style of footy holds up this season.
I think Cats fans would be feeling really anxious about the midfield, Joey, and you're spot on about that back line delivery being very slow and wide. But Mitch Duncan playing, Joel Selwood playing off a really interrupted preseason. There's no Jack Stephen. So coming up against the might of that GWS on ball room, that Josh Kelly, Lockie Whitfield, Steve Cornelia, we know who the names are. I feel like the Giants are really going to try and dominate that midfield part of the ground. So whether the Cats can win it back on the intercept, their halfbacks are going to have a huge influence on this game to get up. But I think this is going to be a really difficult test for the Cats. First up, Em.
The last game of the day, the Suns taking on Port Adelaide at 7:40 this afternoon, or this evening as well, on Fox Footy. And would appear that we are going with the Suns on this one.
Oh, I'm giving them a big chance. Remember their last couple of seasons, they've started the years really well. You know, before the, I suppose, the younger bodies get a bit tired and fatigued, they've always been up and about. They've March series, they won both games. As I said before, playing a really strong brand of footy. There's something slowly building at Gold Coast, and I can see them really scaring Port Adelaide this afternoon.
And they found one in Darcy McPherson. I think he's had 30 touches in both these Marsh games. Tomorrow, Hawthorn, Brisbane quickly.
I like the Hawks. Again, what I've touched on, I think Alistair Clarkson, the Hawks, they're going to play much faster as
Adaptability.
I think at the MCG, with everything that's going on, it's a 50-50 game, but I'm leaning the way of the Hawks.
Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
How's the sandpaper t-shirt? It'd be quite the exfoliator, wouldn't it?
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Friedman.
Score more value this footy season with a Ladbroke Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Gamble responsibly.
Morning, Tom. Let's get straight into it. Big things expected of Essendon following a very strong pre-season. Have they been well back to beat Frio today?
Yeah, they've been very, very well supported, Emma. They're now into $1.50. Fremantle out to $2.60. Essendon, one of the big best back sides of the weekend.
Two teams that the experts are predicting will finish bottom four in the ladder. Which way are they leaning? Adelaide, Sydney?
Adelaide, narrow favourites for this one there, $1.70. Have been a little bit of money, though, for the Sydney Swans, and they're now into $2.15.
Tommy, I think the Giants are the absolute lock of the week. What are the punters doing with their money for the GWS Geelong game?
Yeah, punters are keen on the Giants as well, looking to bounce back from that shocker horror grand final loss. They're now into $1.50. Geelong are friendly with punters. They're out to $2.60. Not a longer price than what you normally get for the Cats.
Thank you very much, Tom. We'll catch up with you next week to get all the odds from Ladbrokes and, of course, gamble responsibly.
Thanks to Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly.
All right, let's get into our Dead Set Multi. I know we've all been building up for this moment.
Hey, confidence levels are high today, Emma. Spark up. We're confident today.
To be honest, I've got to admit, it's been my fault, which has been devastating because I did have a run of form last spring, but it has been eluding me over the last few weeks. But I'm feeling confident that we can get the punt as a winner. If you're sitting at home watching the racing on Seven, watching the footy, we've got a few to include in a little multi. Three legs, obviously, starting with you, Joey.
AFLW finals are starting today. Really looking forward to watching them. But the best bet out of all four, I think, are Carlton to defeat the Brisbane Lions. The Blues, probably the most informed team in the comp. They're only $1.36 to win, but the line, so how much more they can win by, is 11.5. So if Carlton win by 12 points or more, $1.90, I think they'll beat Brisbane by 2 goals.
It is your wheelhouse, Joey. What was the Ross Lyon saying? Failure, not feedback, not failure, or what's the
failure is feedback.
Failure is feedback.
Failure is feedback.
So that's
so take it on board.
Yeah, exactly. I said it before, but GWS, I think that $1.60 come in to $1.50. I think they're good things against the Cats, Em.
I'll throw in Hanseatic to run a place in the slipper. This is a horse who ran second in the Blue Diamond, had his chance to win that one but didn't. So $2.40 the place, which I think is generous. Ooh, up at Rose Hill Gardens today. So if you bundle all them up together, you might get about $5.
Like,
is that around
one.
The mark?
I like this one, Jay.
Gamble responsibly.
You're feeling pretty good about our three-leg multi. So Hanseatic in the Golden Slipper for the place.
Quickly, big racing news this weekend, and it was probably overshadowed a little bit, but what was your reaction to the irregular sample of alligator blood after the millions? Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, so it's a fascinating one because the drug detected in alligator blood, who is not a filly, is a drug that is used to stop fillies and mares from going into heat. So it stops them from, you know, getting babies on the brain, so to speak. So how this has ended up in his sample is weird. Either someone has tried to, well, this is what the owners think, someone has tried to dope the horse to get an immediate disqualification, you know, as some kind of retaliation or, you know, feedback, or there's been a contamination, or there's something else, like it can mask something else. Do you know what I mean? It can be used as a masking agent. So there's three kind of lines of thought there. I mean, it's really unfortunate because he's become the cult horse, hasn't he?
He's been the horse
that everyone loves over the last couple of months.
You don't want to be a skeptic. I mean, but to see it, the way that it was winning and how dominant it was sort of coming out of nowhere, I don't know. It is hard, isn't it, to not think there's something a bit sus up with, especially in the racing industry. But we'd like to think that David Van Dyke, you know, wouldn't there. But we'll have to just keep an eye on that one. It's going to be interesting, Em.
One for you, Joey. During the week when Gill was making his big announcements about how the season would play out, they did announce that the AFLW final series would change. Your thoughts on that? Because it's been thrown up in the air a bit.
It has. I understand where the players are coming from, the extra two teams they've put in the finals because they cut the season 2 weeks short. What I don't quite understand is if Collingwood upset the Kangaroos today, which is a chance because Collingwood are in great form, and the other three favourites win, all four teams from Conference B will be in the preliminary finals. So it defeats the whole purpose, from my perspective, of having a Conference A and a Conference B, where you want the two best from each conference to play against each other, or at least, I don't know, it's strange. It was my give me a spell. I don't understand how they've come up with this system, because you might have all four teams from one conference in the preliminary final.
Who wins it, Joey?
I still think Kangaroos are the team to beat, but they've got a tough game against Collingwood.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Give me a spell. It's a favourite segment of the week. Well, we just try and line up someone, basically. And I've got the big supermarket chains in my crosshairs today because...
Hang on. You were talking about how excited you were to be heading to Coles during the week to be helping out the old lady.
I was trying to help someone. That was, no, it was more about the kindness, the random acts of kindness, but the 90-year-old didn't want an absolute bar of me. but I tell you what, I was shocked when I saw that broccoli is now $12 a kilo.
No,
give me
it's
a spell.
Not.
Oh, I got it for $10.90 the other day. You've been
Whoa.
Sucked in.
Eve, that is ridiculous.
That's a bargain.
This is normally a $3 or $4 a kilo item. Now, I'm not sure what's happening here. If it's a basic supply and demand issue and we're just all of a sudden going bananas for broccoli, or there is a bug which has devastated our broccoli farms out there, something has gone down, and I'm not paying $11 for a... is it a stalk of broccoli? What do we call it?
A head?
A head.
It is a head of broccoli. Yeah,
anyway.
You know what people do, though, the broccoli?
What?
Snap the...
No, we wouldn't...
Oh, to lessen how expensive it is per kilo.
How expensive. It's pretty heavy, the stalk bit, so just snap it off. That's illegal, though.
Just go the florets.
Yes.
Give me a spell, broccoli prices.
Oh, dear. Well, my give me a spells have been mentioned both today. I wanted to give me a spell that... AFL instructing the players not to high five, yet they're happy to tackle each other for 2 hours. Give me a spell. And then also the AFLW's fixture finals that annoyed me a bit, but I've already said mine. Emma?
No, that's good. I think mine are probably in line with everyone's. Give me a spell. Mine's going to be an international one, and it's just Donald Trump. Like, I'm just fed up with seeing the Trump and seeing him 1 minute say that we've got it under control and everything's fine and we're not going to have an outbreak, and then next minute, three major cities in the US in lockdown. So, you know, come on, Donald.
He's claiming that he actually called all this.
Yeah. He predicted it.
Do we still listen to Trump?
No, hopefully not.
No, mate.
Not all heroes wear capes, but all legends wear all-day socks by Underworks, the number wonder down under for socks. This is the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend!
On a lighter note, this is a Dead Set Legend of the Week. Nonna sums up the situation.
Hello, all you lovely lot out there. Now, what a bad state of affairs we're in.
Gotta go. End of the show.
Yeah, time to go. Saturday Rub Up Now with JB and the crew. Hey!
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
If you have to explain a joke, it's not particularly funny.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app.
Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down.
Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.